Good morning to everyone. It's my privilege this morning to open the Word, and we'll continue our series on Luke, and we'll be looking at Luke 8, 1 through 15 this morning. This is actually a well-known portion that probably most of you would are familiar with, the parable of the sower. But it's very interesting when you start to break apart this into pieces and study this, the truths that Luke is revealing about the condition of your heart. So really, I would position this is the parable about the condition of your heart this morning. And that will be the theme that we'll be looking at as we go throughout this portion of Scripture. Before we get started, let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word, the word of life, the message that Jesus had, that God, our Heavenly Father, desires to have a relationship with each one of us. And he has provided a way through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross that we may know you. And Lord, I pray that this morning as we look at your word, Lord, that our hearts, that we would look at our hearts and how receptive we are to your truths, to the truth that is found in the word of God. And Lord, that we would continually apply it in our lives. Lord, I pray that you be with us over the next little while. And Lord, open up this parable to us and the truths that are found within it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start with the first verse of chapter 8. After this, Jesus traveled about from town to town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. I'm just going to stop there for a minute because it seems if we just start reading this, it's okay. Now Luke's moving to another section. And if you remember, and if you weren't here last week, Terry talked about a very personal, heartfelt change of the heart that a woman experienced. And he used that to challenge the religious belief of that day that you could only know God through the laws, or through an outward following of the laws. And Jesus challenged, you don't know God just by those actions, but there needs to be a heartfelt change. And just, you know, a couple of the key verses, and I'm not going to repeat Terry's message from last week, but in verses 48, then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. Verse 50, Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Luke intentionally puts that very personal story about that woman and the change that she had. But then we think, okay, now he's moving on. Jesus is moving from town to town, village to village, proclaiming the kingdom of God. Let's just take a minute, though. What is your thought about what the kingdom of God or what that message Jesus had? What do you think about when you hear the kingdom of God? Sometimes we just brush over that because we don't really have a real concept of what a kingdom of anything really means in our society today. But if you think about kingdom, brings to mind what? A king, right? A ruler of some area, domain. So let's just put that in context of the kingdom of God. It's proclaiming the good news, the dominion of God who reigns as king. Okay, so that's a good starting point. That's a dominion. God is the ruler. Okay, that's a fairly easy concept. Let's step back, though, when Luke is writing to the people here in Israel. And this is the struggle that Jesus' ministry was talking about. Most of them had a lot of experience. Well, they're all lived through and living through where Romans were the rulers of Israel at that point. Very severe. They understood what it meant for a ruler to dictate a person's life, to dictate what they could do, what they couldn't do. They're also based a lot of history, centuries, of having a king as a ruler. We don't necessarily have all that context, but Jesus has come in a ministry to the people, and this is town to town, village to village, of now there's a kingdom of God coming. And Jesus puts it in context. He's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. So what does that mean to them? What are they? They're probably struggling. What does that mean? And most of the thought during that time was the Messiah was going to come in a very physical kingdom and free the people of Israel from the Romans. Maybe that was more of a wish, but that was a prominent thought during that time. But Jesus' message is very different. God is coming. His kingdom is being introduced on earth. Where? Not a physical kingdom. Not yet. But it's a kingdom of the person, a person's spirit, the person's heart. God is establishing a way, a means that a holy, almighty, righteous God can interact with each individual person. So Jesus is trying to shift the thought pattern of the day and even today of a desire, the good news, that God wants to be in a relationship with each one. God wants the heart to be addressed. John 14:23 says, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Speaking again about a dominion, a part, a relationship between God and the person. Doesn't get into this, but like in this one verse, but when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, it's a dominion or an area where God wants to change. But it does put a choice in people's lives where our sinful nature is already kind of, we're allowing Satan as the ruler of that. So when Jesus introduces the kingdom of God, it's a point of decision people need to make. Who will be the ruler of your heart? So we can see in this right now how it's connecting, and Luke is connecting from being one person's story, a lady whose heart has changed, from challenging the religious leaders at that point, to now it's being shared. What is the condition of the heart of every person in all the towns and villages? By just with that terminology, the kingdom of God. And this is throughout, we'll see it many times throughout Luke, through all the gospel writers. Jesus uses the word kingdom of God as a way of meaning it's a point of a decision that you need to make who rules your heart. So we start to see this now in context of it links from chapter 7 to now moving into chapter 8. And then we will explore a little bit later the very first parable that Luke includes. And it goes into a lot of detail where Jesus explains about how that message is accepted. Just probably one more just about the kingdom of God. I just wanted to include in other parts of the Gospels, but John 3 says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." There's this whole part of a new spiritual part of your life. So a heart change that needs to happen to know and even experience or start to experience what the kingdom of God is. So this is kind of giving you the context. When we read this initially, we think, okay, this is Luke moving on. This is something different. But no, this is Luke showing that now Jesus is broadening that message to everyone he talks to. How does he do that? This is where we get into the parable. But a few other things I just wanted to pull out before we get into the parable. One, and this is interesting in verses 2, as they move on, who was there with Jesus? So 2 and 3, the 12 with him, the disciples. That's great. But also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons came out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Luke is the only gospel message that brings those extra details in his account of Jesus. There's a female aspect, the women that have been changed, along with the disciples who were there to help support Jesus' ministry. Why I'm bringing that out, because another part of this, Jesus talks about the parable. You've been given the gift of understanding the parables, and we'll get into this now, but it's not just the disciples, which I always kind of thought, oh, yeah, okay, the disciples were the chosen 12, so they would get that. But there's a group, there's a female aspect here too of that were with those 12 and with Jesus' ministry that would have heard Jesus' teaching and expansion on his teaching to the greater audience or greater groups that he talked to. Another kind of aspect just wanted to pull up before we get into the actual parable. And we're going to just jump down to 8:10. This is let's start at 9 first. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." I always had that, read that, I'm like, why does Jesus even speak in parables? Kind of like almost a sense of, is he trying to hide the truth from some and others, select few, get to know the truth? It's interesting, Matthew 13, which is another account of the parable of the sower, Matthew talks, and he, if you know the gospel writers, Matthew connects many of these things to Old Testament prophecies that have been fulfilled or warnings that prophets talked about. Matthew is referencing Isaiah 6 in this situation, 9 and 10. But in Matthew 13:15, he says, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. I would heal them." This is Jesus quoting Isaiah. But if you can see, Jesus is not saying parables or my message is only for a select few. He's talking about the condition of the people, of their hearts. They're calloused. They can hardly hear what the message of truth is. They can't see. And if we reference back to Jesus, he's performing miracles, and they barely see that that is just the action of God's power of changing a person's life. They're in such a state where they can't realize what the truth really is, what God's message is to them. And it's Jesus expressing to his disciples and the ladies in the group at that point, I'm here to help you understand the truth of the message of what the kingdom of God is. So it's kind of neat from that perspective. Jesus is providing a parable. So a parable, yes, is an illustration of something they can relate to that helps them get close to what the truth is, but they don't fully understand all the definition behind it unless Jesus helps them. But where does that leave us today? We're thinking, okay, well, Jesus is not here. We do have the Bible, which is great. In our passage, Jesus gives the definition of what the parable means. That's awesome, but not for every parable that we read in the gospel. But in John 14, 25, and 26, this is Jesus speaking, but he says, all of this I have spoken while still with you. So referencing his message of the kingdom of God. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. So amazing truth that Jesus says the Holy Spirit will help us, each one of us, understand what his teaching is. So it's not we just have to hope that the Bible clearly lays out every aspect of the truth, but that we can, through the Holy Spirit, understand what the truth of this message really is. So, those are some of the things outside of the parable that I wanted to just pull out before we actually get into the parable. So let's start with the parable. Let's read, it starts in verse 5, and we'll just read to verse 8 right now. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on ground, on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. So this morning, if I got up and just started with those few verses and said, okay, whoever has ears, hear, and let them hear what the message is, and sat down. Many of you would be like, okay, I guess there was a seed planted, right, in the ground, and it had different results. But is there more to this parable than just a seed being sown? So this morning we'll use, as we go through this, that reference to gardening, to a seed being planted and the types of soil. And that's what Jesus is using at this point, that reference, this parable, of something that people was very familiar with, of planting a seed and something grows from that seed. And talks about, you know, different types of soil in that situation, which is a connecting point for them. That's what a parable is, a connecting point, something they can reference. But now let's look at what the truth is. And Jesus talks through, because the disciples asked at that point, which gives us some comfort. They've been with Jesus. They're seeing some of the message, but they're still, Lord, help us understand what this parable really means. So we'll be the same this morning. Lord, help us understand and apply in our lives what this parable really means. So the Jesus talk starts in verse 11 about the meaning of this. Verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. And he starts with the seed. What is the seed? The seed is the word of God. So we'll look at a few aspects of this parable, but let's start with that seed. What comes to your mind when you said the word of God? To many, it can mean multiple different things, and we probably could spend the next, actually quite a while, going through what the word of God means. And I bet we probably could go around the room multiple times and people pull up what the word of God means in their life. Let's just look at a few verses that pulls out starting of the truth of the word of God. I mean, we're not going to go through the whole Bible. That we'd be here for a long time. But let's look at just a couple. 1 Timothy 2, 3 to 6. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. A truth right there, right? Where do we start? Where is God starting? And we talked about that desire to be in a relationship with man. We can't go not talk about the word of God without using John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to give them the world, but to save the world through him. Forgiveness of sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Our relationship with him will never fail. John 3:15. That everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Holy Spirit. We just heard about Holy Spirit in John 14, where he comes and will share the truth. But also in Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit comes in power. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There's many other promises, such as in Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Many other promises like that. Also, the word of God provides instruction of how we live when God is Lord in our lives, such as the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. When the seed is the word of God, it includes all of these promises and many more that we find in his word. So it is that seed, the word of God, will go back and forth between the analogy of the seed and the word of God through the rest of this parable. But it's that word of God, those promises, that life-changing call that Jesus has for each one of us that is planted. How is it planted? That's part of the other aspect we'll start to look at before we look at the different types of soil. There's a farmer, or some call it farmer, or some the sower aspect of this. There's some belief that, oh, Jesus is the only one who is that sower, that planter. But if we think about what we just heard about what the Word of God is, there's in the Great Commission in Matthew and many of the scriptures, Jesus calls us to be ones that share that Word of God, share the truth of what the kingdom of God really means to others. So we fall within this parable as a farmer as well. So not just Jesus, it's not just him doing the work. We have a responsibility of planting or spreading that seed to all aspects. Just one other part I wanted to bring out in this parable as well is the method of the planting. So I'm not a farmer. I do understand basics of planting and planting a garden. There's lots of work put into preparing the soil, of getting it in the right condition. And then you put all that work in. You don't want to waste the seed. You plant the seed in a very controlled manner, and you put it in the soil that has been prepared for that. So it gives it the best, I guess, condition possible for it to grow and to bear fruit. In this, and then maybe even back in those days, we have, you know, sometimes we have planters, or you do the spreading with just by hand. In those days, it was very much all by hand, but I read kind of what they would have thought when they heard this. And it was very much they would have paths through their field where the sower would walk up and down the paths and pass the seed to the soil that was prepared for that seed. And kind of usually did it in the fall time so that a harvest would come. I think it's June time frame for them. But it was still a very more controlled, not machine-wise, but controlled where they threw the seed. But in this parable, Jesus talks about the farmer scatters the seed everywhere. There's no attention to where it was put. Kind of an interesting I pulled out was that message Jesus is asking us not to be, hey, it only spoke to certain people, it's only spoke at certain conditions, but that the message is shared, that Word of God is shared everywhere. Kind of speaking to the love and grace of Jesus' message is applicable for everybody. And we shouldn't be selective of where we plant that or try to plant the seed. But let's leave it to God to do the growing and worrying about how the seed germinates and grows. But the farmer is to spread that Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, in every aspect, in every place. So regardless of the soil, regardless of what the person, the heart condition is, that seed is shared with them. So we kind of talked about all kinds of aspects of this parable. Now let's get into, I believe, the key aspects of what this parable is. And that's the condition of the soil. So Jesus provides four different types of soil where the seed falls. One, the path. One, the rocky ground. One, the soil with weeds. And the good soil. So we'll jump into that in this second part. So let's go. We've already read through the parable itself. We're going to focus in on what Jesus' message or the truth behind each part of that soil condition. First, the well-traveled ground or the path in verse 12 speaks about a part where the seed is thrown or is sown, but it falls on a path that is well-traveled or one that the ground is not ready to accept that seed. Jesus, in the parable, talks about, the birds either eat it up or they're stepped on the seed is stepped on. So it's a point where that seed never gets planted, never germinates, never starts to grow. In verse 12, Jesus talks about those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Jesus talks about that person. We would maybe associate it with a person that's really not in a position to hear God's word or the truth of that word. Circling back to even what we read in Matthew, a calloused heart, someone's heart that's not ready to hear the truth of God or cannot see it or cannot hear it, was some of the terminology that we used. So it's that seed is almost thrown away, we think. And from this parable, unfortunately, that's a number of people where maybe that seed isn't taken up at that point, which is a sad situation, a sad condition of a person's heart. But I'll circle back to that scattering of the seed. It's not for us to judge what person or where their hearts are at that point. It's our task to share the word of God with them. Let's move on to the next soil condition. Hard and rocky ground, I'll label it as. It's a soil that actually, I looked it up, a lot in Palestine would be familiar with, where it was a thin topsoil layer, but a lot of rock underneath. What that does is allow a plant or a seed to start, germinate, but there's no spot for a real root to grow in this condition. And then when the sun comes out, that moisture is wicked away, and there's nothing for that plant to live and grow on and be fruitful. Verse 13, Jesus talks about those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Jesus talks about another condition where people are open. Hey, you know, that love of Jesus or an aspect of the gospel, hey, I'd like to have that. That kind of makes sense. But there's something in their life that's not been addressed. What is that hard, rocky part underlying? Maybe some openness. We probably have encounters or know of people, you know, maybe past hurts, maybe unworthiness, maybe there's acts that they've done in the past that they can't forgive themselves. There's rocks in their lives that prevents them from really accepting the truth, the love that Jesus wants to offer. I think we can look at the high level of a plant not growing, but I think as most probably, if you're Christians here, or maybe in this condition as well, you have something blocking the truth of God's word to really take root and grow in your life. Let's pray for those people that God would come and that his love would penetrate that rocky condition, that would dissolve that hurt or those things that would prevent the truth of the word of God to grow in their lives. Amen? That's something that we should be very conscious of as well. There's people in that condition. The third condition that the parable talks about, the thorny ground. Jesus starts to move from those that are far away and maybe not open to the word to ones a little bit closer that they like what they hear, but there's things preventing them. To now we start to move into a condition where Jesus starts to talk to those who know about the Word of God or the Kingdom of God. But he labels it as a thorny ground. Let's read what Jesus says about that ground. Verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. They do not mature. Ouch, and some of this, right? If we think about today's society, I looked up some stats. Anxiety. It is up to 45% of North American population agree or admit to anxiety about some aspects of their life. Almost 50% of the population. That's up from during COVID 2022, that was only 35%. It's up from pre-2020, that was below 30%. So our society, the stresses of life continue to grow in our society. Riches, I mean, we probably don't even have to speak too much about that, but in our society, how can we spend more money and then we have to make more money to spend more money? And then usually that's on pleasures, right? To what, and many commercials are, you deserve this, right? Or you deserve that, or whatever that may be. And it's interesting that Jesus calls out in this parable over 2,000 years ago, same conditions that choke what the Word of God can do in our lives. And this is not people that haven't heard the Word of God. Jesus is reflecting on people where, because this is, if we're back to the context, the seed has been taken, it's been planted, it's germinated, it's starting to grow, but that the harvest or the fruit of that plant does not reach maturity. How many of us today have parts in our life where the truth of God is not reaching maturity? We're not seeing that fruit that we'll just look at that Luke talks about and Jesus talks about in the parable. What things are hindering that plant, the Word of God, to fully be, I guess, mature in our lives? And we kind of think, oh, okay, these are the big things, right? Oh, you know, I'm not trying to be a millionaire or I don't suffer with anxiety or whatever that may be. But just maybe an illustration from my life a while ago now, but I worked for a company and the company was starting to go bankrupt. But I had, in a very stressful time where, you know, it got to a point where all your possessions were packed in a box already, and you could be a phone call each morning that is your last day. It was very, most people maybe appreciate that it's stressful, but I found it stressful because I had the belief, because I was the father, I had to provide for the family. It was me. It was my responsibility to provide. Fortunate after, you know, lots of prayer, God said, no, you don't need to go look for some other thing. I'm going to provide. That was tough. But it was that kind of my mix of the Lord will look after me and my family with a, you could see, not full maturity of understanding God's provision in our lives to, I had to, it was my responsibility and the stress that that would have brought on it. Now, praise God, he did provide. I didn't even end up moving from my desk and everything else. And he provided with a new company, buying out that company. And so on, but God provided. But you can see just in that little bit of a story where our understanding of God's promises, or at least my understanding of God's promises, was not fully matured in that situation. I felt it was my responsibility, not God, that would take care of us. So don't think of this thorny ground. I always kind of pictured it as the big things, right? The big things that would stop us. But there's small understandings of God's promises in our life that we need to fully let grow and mature and bring to fruition. You know, others may see God brought us from a very maybe sinful or rough past, right? And he changed their hearts, and they can look back over years and say how God has brought them through. But I think there's even more in this, in the thorny ground for each one of us, to really explore in our lives what God's truth is, what the Word of God, how it can be matured and bring to full, I guess, not even mature, but back to this harvest or fruitfulness of what is planted in every aspect. We talked about just some things of what the Word of God is, but there's so much in here. And there's so much, I think each one of us, regardless of where we are in our Christian walk, how long we've been a Christian, I think there's always aspects each one of us need to understand what the truth of God is and what that crop can yield in our lives, back to that a reference to soil and the seed. So I encourage you, don't just think about, oh, that's for somebody else. I think there's an aspect of truth in this for each one of us that we can apply in our lives. Brings us to the last part, good soil. This is like, okay, now this is great. We made it through. We all want to be in this part of the good soil, right? The good soil that produces, Luke uses 100-fold. Some of the other ones give 30, 60, 100-fold of that. Just to give you they were used to, if we get back to the parable and association with what they knew physically, typically their yield of a crop or plant of a seed would be about 35%. Luke's and Jesus in this parable is like, no, don't just settle for the common, right? Jesus wants that seed, the Word of God, to be 100-fold in our lives. But just to pull out, in verse 13, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hears the word, retain it, and persevering produces a crop. Just wanted to bring out, okay, well, this is great. We thought, oh, it's all good. We have a good soil. It's all going to be great. Just wanted to bring out that one word, persevering part. So they hear the word. That's great. The word, that seed is planted. They retain it. It's planted in their heart. They take it and put it in their heart, which is great. It starts to grow. But there's a persevering part of that. Really speaks to a reliance on the faith, that word that is planted in our hearts will grow and will produce 100-fold. And God is there taking care of that growth of that seed. So many times we hear something and we're like, I wish that could apply for me, or that would be great. I'd love to have that apply, but I'm not really sure kind of how that will work out. I'm not this, or I'm not that, or I can't do that. So you can't see how that seed could grow and be 100 times bear that kind of crop. But you know what? It's not ours. It's not our responsibility to make the seed grow. It's our responsibility to be open to God's word and pray that God will plant that seed and that it will bring it to full fruition, to full hundredfold. We'll use a hundredfold in our lives. Just one thing's a couple things I didn't bring up. Some people read this and it's a one time, or they think this parable talks about a one time message. But if we think about a seed, it doesn't grow overnight. It doesn't grow as soon as it's planted. There's a time for it to plant, to germinate, to start to grow roots, and then usually breaks the surface before even whatever is on a flower to, you know, a fruit or a vegetable of some type. That fruit, there's a period of time between all of that. So each one of us, and maybe each part, the seed or the promises of God can be in a different stage in each one of our lives. So I encourage you to keep praying, Lord, bring that to a hundredfold. Bring that seed that was planted, maybe even this morning, to a hundredfold condition. The other aspect that just to think about when we're thinking about this, not your heart as one. If you think about a garden is made up of different, could be different soil conditions throughout the garden. Your heart, I think there's an aspect that we need to consider in that maybe as a part of our heart that's, hey, that's great. It's this good fertile soil. We're open to the word of God. But maybe there's some parts of your heart that are still maybe in that thorny condition or that hard soil. I pray this morning that each one of us would continue to take assessment of our heart and the condition. Because you could be, you know, say 40 years using just something, but you've let parts of that garden, the thorns, creep in on. Or there's maybe a part in your heart that you still haven't dealt with. So I pray this morning that we would take assessment of our whole heart, just as you would if you had a garden. And Linda, I noticed the garden very much already starting to come up, but we don't ignore parts of the garden. We have to look at the whole thing. So we walk through this parable that you would read through real quickly. And it's great. In this one, Jesus explains it. So we're already like, hey, that's great. We'll move on. But this morning, if your heart, think about what's the condition of your heart. For those who may have fallen into the first two soil conditions, my prayer that this morning, Jesus can change that with one small acknowledgement of Jesus' death on the cross, the truth that he wants to be in relationship with you, an acceptance that he could be the king of your heart, that he could be ruler of your life. That can change everything. I pray that you would make that choice this morning. If you fall within the second two soils, that's great. It's a good start. But as I said, the reminder is, let's take assessment of every part. It would be awesome. I'm speaking for myself as well, that if we were all a hundredfold in all the promises of God, wouldn't that be amazing? That we would not struggle, that we would not suffer or worry about things like we do, but that we would allow the truth of God's word to change every aspect, every way we see things. That would be amazing. And that, I think, you know, that's God's you know, desire for each one of us, that that seed that's planted would grow and mature and be a hundredfold. Lastly, it running over time, but let's make, how do we make that soil fertile? Just a couple closing things. Let's make the Lord God every aspect of our life. Let's not let sin creep in. Let's not let, as Jesus talked about, those thorns, those worries of life, crowd out what the message of God is. Second, what are you using as truth? What are you using as the promises of God? We have a society where it's promoting many truths, or whatever your truth could be different from my truth. Let's let the Word of God be our truth. Thirdly, let's let the Holy Spirit in. Let Him examine our lives. Let Him examine our hearts so that we don't ignore parts of our heart and that message that can apply. And let's continue to work on the soil of our hearts. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, it's on this Palm Sunday where the people of Israel acknowledged You as King, but they did not understand really what Your desire is. And Lord, we're so thankful You desired for us to be a changed people, for us to know You and make You King of our hearts. And Lord, we're so thankful that You provide many, many words of encouragement and truth in Your Bible, in the Bible. But You provided a way that we may know You. And Lord, I pray that this parable of the sower, of the seed being planted in different soil conditions, that we would apply it in our lives. And Lord, I pray for each one that that seed would come to a hundredfold in each person's life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.